Okay, well, this is my last week of teaching, so I'm very pleased that that Pastor allowed me to finish a little bit more of the good news of walking by faith in our hearts and not our head. Amen. But our head is important. It comes through our head first. Yes, it's a little important. It goes through our head and then filters down into our heart. Amen. Praise God. Now, what is the faith that first comes into our, what's it called?
Logos.
And then the other one?
Rhema.
Rhema. And what's Rhema?
Revelation
knowledge. And what is God building his church on?
Revelation
knowledge. Rhema. Head versus heart, faith, part 12. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I'm going to continue to repeat this scripture. It is critical for you to have built your faith to the place where Jesus can recognize it. He can see your faith. There's no underground Christians, people. Our faith has to be obvious. Our faith, we started in faith, and guess what? You're going to die in faith if you're a true believer. That's why people are afraid of dying. It's because they don't understand that our faith continues. We live by faith, we survive by faith, and then we die by faith. Amen? It's all going to be by faith. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So Jesus is asking us, am I going to find faith in you? This is very serious, people. Fear unleashes Satan. Fear is a satanic force. You have to understand, see, there's faith and there's fear. They are both huge magnets, and both pull in either God or the devil. It's your choice. This is your life. You get to choose. I'm going to bring God in right now. Father, I step into faith. You can hear, you know, as we progress in life, and especially as we start to age a little bit, you can hear some alarming news sometimes in your little physicals, and you're going to have to say to yourself, no, I choose faith right now. I'm reversing this. Like when that doctor told me when I went to get my eyes examined, he looked at the paper, he looked at all the tests that they run before the doctor actually sees you, and he said, you're going blind. You're going blind. You're going to lose your sight. That was like 15 years ago. But what I did, the minute he said it, of course fear grips you. It's an automatic, natural response. But you have to get a hold of that and pull it in and say to yourself, no, I am. What I told myself was, as he was sitting there, and he was a not very nice doctor. And as he was talking to me, I just sat there in the chair saying, I will never give my eyes up. God gave me these eyes. They belong to me. I will never go blind. And my vision has not changed in all these many years. So you have to reject the fear. You have to reject the evil news. Amen. And realize that fear is a satanic force. Who wants that? Amen. Praise God. And then faith frees up God in our lives. Faith is a godly, powerful, almighty force. People, open our eyes, Lord God, that we may see the power of faith. Faith-filled words create realities. With your own words full of faith, you can create, based on the word of God, a phenomenal life for yourself. Don't go by what you see. Always, always go by what God says. Amen?
Amen.
Two words to describe God's word. Logos is the spoken word of God that feeds our souls. Say souls. Primarily. It rewires our brain through spiritual truth and information. When you first start reading the Bible, it starts to change you. It should. Our behavior should be, you know, I mean, we all partied. We all did our stuff in the world before Jesus came into our lives. But once you start getting in the word, start reading it, it starts to rewire your brain so you don't no longer think like the old man, like the carnal man. You start to change your ways. Amen. When you start to change your behavior, your soul is where your personality, your behavior, your will, your emotions, all of that is up there. Let's say you're a person given to anger before you came to Christ. You got born again and now you start reading your Bible. That anger should be subsiding. It should be going by the wayside. Amen. All of these things. But logos is critical for our character building. But rhema is where we step into God's realm. Rhema comes out of the logos, the word you keep reading, that we treasured, studied, and meditated on. The Holy Spirit then takes that logos that's in us and turns it into rhema. Say rhema. Into revelation knowledge as we continue in the word in logos. Rhema is what produces faith in our hearts. And again, people, I beg you to get the difference here, to understand the difference. I did not know any of this. I had to learn this when I was fighting for my life in 1983. I thought I knew the word. I thought, oh, I'll just go to God and God will heal me because pastor would lay hands on me. I would ask God to send anybody to pray for me, to help me. And nothing happened, even though pastor prayed for me. He prayed for me a few times and nothing would change. And that's when I realized, oh my God, I think I know the word, but I got to know the word. When you know it here, people, you're willing to put your last breath on the line. When you know it here, we have been in situations, people, where it looked bad, really bad. And because we knew the word in here, we were able to get a grip. See, this little soul will give you problems. We got a grip of the fear and we said, no, God is here. God is with us and we will survive this. One time we were visiting his mother in Banning. And we were going down the little, in a tiny little, what was that little car that we had? Anyway, it was a smaller car. Brian was like maybe 5 years old and Andy was, about 11. She was around 11 years old. You can laugh, people. You're in church. She was about 11 years old. And yeah, so we were driving down the street and all of a sudden, we look up and there's two guys on each side of the street with guns yelling at each other, holding their guns like that as we were literally passing right in the middle. And Bill said, guys, duck down. And we did. And we started all praying in the name of Jesus. Of course, we got out of there alive. Another time we were in an airplane. We were on our way on a vacation, many years ago. Some of my sisters were there, I think maybe even a brother or two, and we were just going to have a little week out in Mexico. And we get in the airplane, we pray, of course, as always. In fact, I think we prayed in the lobby before we got on the airplane, which you should always do, always pray, people. I pray for everything. I don't take any chances. I cover, you know, our life, whatever we're doing in the name of Jesus. So we got in the airplane and you know, sometimes, and this is not a slam, it's the truth, Mexico can bend the rules a little bit. So we were in this airplane, and then all of a sudden, when it was time to land, first of all, when we took off, it was like heavy, like, what the heck? I know we're not skinny, but come on. And the airplane was like, argh. And, you know, we finally got off ground. And as we were landing, all of a sudden, the plane started to lose control. And it was swaying like this, and it was extremely scary. I've never seen my husband like I did that day. He grabbed my hand, and he said, in the name of Jesus, and I could see his face that this was not right. This was wrong. And it was, you were there, Lupe. And it, yeah, it's when we all went. And the plane was swaying, and it was not a good thing at all. So we prayed, we believed God, and we would plummet, and then we'd come up, and it was just all over the place, and it was a regular airplane. When we get off, you know, it takes you time to get out of the airplane and gather all your stuff and all that. As we were getting off, they were hauling box after box, massive amounts of boxes. We don't know what they had, but they were using our passenger airplane as transport, and it totally derailed the balance of the airplane. So you never know when you're going to need your faith, and it's got to be here. Amen? Amen? Right here. Amen. So rhema is what produces faith in our hearts. Rhema will come to those who have begun to develop godly character through logos. And what I mean by that, people, is that God doesn't cast his pearl before swine. We have to grow up. We have to mature. We have to understand what we're handling here. God has given us power of attorney. God has given us all power. With this, with the word of God, we can create the most powerful things. Guys, we're going to need signs and wonders very shortly. Somebody's doing shopping right now. Something about stainless steel bowls. Anyway, so you have to develop character to understand what you're handling. Amen. The word of God is precious, people. The word of God is Jesus. Amen. And we've got to understand, I mean, to respect the word and say, Lord, I'm standing on this scripture and it's going to save my life right now. How did you get born again? That's the greatest miracle that any person can have. You got born again by standing on the scriptures. John 3:3-11, where Jesus talks about being born again. Romans 10:9-10. 2 Corinthians 5:17. These are all scriptures that we stood on and got born again. The word has the power to change everything. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Habakkuk 2:4. Look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him. That's the carnal, immature Christian. But the righteous, which is the just and lawful, will live by his faith in the true God. See, it's the righteous, the just, and the lawful. We got to get to the place now, people, where we start closing the door to anything that is carnality in our lives. Amen? You know, it's easy to lie. It's easy to lie. It's the easiest thing in the world to lie. Amen. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to get afraid. But we've got to start closing all of those things, people, so that we can start walking as righteous. Amen. Praise God. How can I know if I'm truly in faith? Number one, I'm just two, three reviews real quick. You are in peace. You are in what?
Peace.
That's the first thing that you should experience once you pray. Amen. I've had Pastor pray for me. In fact, he prayed for me last night, was it? And I sit there and I wait. As he's praying for me, I wait for the peace. I calm myself down and I say, okay, Eva, you're getting prayed for. Let it go. Trust God and go into peace. That's what you have to do. Amen. Praise God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, which means quietness, rest, set at one again, in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence. That means to anticipate, usually with pleasure, expectation, confidence in his promises. The word peace means freedom from disturbance, tranquility. You don't want to allow any disturbance. Amen. You just sit there and you say, God, it's you and me right now in this moment. I am walking by faith right now. Glory to God. He makes me look at peace. How much Jesus wants you to have peace. Look at that's us, people. That's how he sees us. Of course, we're brilliant. Some of us are world movers. You know, we've accomplished a lot. But in his eyes, we're precious lambs to him. We're lambs because he wants to take care of us. He wants to feed us. He wants to tend us. So he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes you. He makes you. Some of you, Jesus is chasing you, trying to make you lie down in green pastures. Relax. Have any of you ever been at a park and then you lay down on the grass? Isn't that the most soothing, grounding, organic experience? No? Yeah. Only Lupita and Valentin. Okay, the rest of you, you got gypped, the rest of you. Huh? Well, then Jesus made a mistake, Chris. No, I'm just kidding. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes you. He's trying to chase you, to relax you, to calm you down. And you're like a little lamb going all over the place. Amen. Praise God. He leads me beside the still waters. Calm. There's no storm. When Jesus takes you to the water, there's not going to be a storm. He restores my soul. There you go. I'm having issues. I'm depressed. I'm afraid. I'm anxious. I'm uncertain. I'm going crazy. I think I'm insane. All of those things. He restores my soul. For those of you that have mental issues, and let me tell you, Pastor and I got healed of a lot of mental issues. You should see your faces today. What happened to the people of last week? Then you were my friends. So he restores my soul. If you're having issues, stand on this scripture. It's from Psalms 23, obviously. Go to God and say, Lord, restore my soul. I need to have peace here. I'm all over the place. I'm anxious. I'm angry. I'm afraid. Whatever it is, take it to God.
Amen.
He is with me. God is with you. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
You will never be alone. And if God is with us, people, truly, honestly, please be honest. If God is with us, should we be afraid?
No.
Why? Yeah, but okay, the fact that he's with us, is he a passenger? Is he just taking up space? He'll strengthen us.
Protect us.
Huh?
Heal us.
Restore us. All of that. God is with us. Amen. What did you say, Ben? Yeah. Why are we afraid? This is why he would get so upset, people, with the disciples. Oh, you of little faith. And then he would say, perverse and unbelieving generation. He called an unbelieving heart wicked, a wicked heart of unbelief. So we got to get it together. Amen. You know, I love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, it's time that we start responding to these things, people. Amen. And let him change us. Let him change us. Amen. Praise God. And then his rod and staff, that's what the shepherds used to have. And it had a hook on it to either beat the wolves or pull the little sheep that were trying to scatter. They comfort me. That staff should comfort you because he's there to protect you and he's there to guide you, like Ben said. And then he anoints my head with oil. In the old days, people, when you went to people's homes, they would use beautiful, expensive oil. And when their guests would come into their house, because it was so dry and arid in Israel, especially in those days, that they would anoint your head. The anoint means to rub in. They would anoint you with their special oil to cool you off. Sometimes they would do it to your feet to cool you off, to refresh you, and to honor you. And he anoints our head with oil. Amen. The oil of the Holy Spirit. Stay with me. Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness. God will show you kindness. God, you know, you can be in the middle of horrible sin, and all of a sudden an emergency comes up, and you turn to God. He will face you with kindness. You know why? Because you're not going to change who he is. God is love. Our sins don't change God. Now it behooves us to get out of that territory because we're playing in the devil's playground. Amen. It behooves us, but he'll never reject you. What did he say? I came for the sick. I came for those that are messed up. That's you and me. You've entered into his rest. The number two, you look for peace. Once you have peace, you rest. You stop laboring. Oh, I got to get in the word. I got to make this happen. Oh, I got to quote my scriptures. Oh, yes, get in the word, but not like that. That's fear. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, reposing, abode, reside, residence, and place, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Are you mixing the word that we're preaching with faith so that it can profit you? If you just come to hear people, please start building your house on the rock. Start building your house on the rock. There are things on the horizon. Just by faith, we're going to make it through very well, very well. God is greater than anything we're going to face. Can I have a good amen there?
Amen.
Praise God. So for indeed the gospel, okay. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Read that with me. For we
who have believed
to enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. If we don't believe, we won't enter into rest, people. And you will be all uptight, and you will be, your circuits will fry, and you will be all over the place. Look at this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Casting all your care, all your distractions upon him, for he cares for you. Or are we still living the old life, the counterfeit life? Is this how you look? You know, God can see everything. On the outside, you may look like Superman, and I got it all together, and you may quote 10 scriptures at me, and or Pastor Bill, and you know, you're Joe Christian. But God sees the truth of our lives. What burdens are you carrying? What burdens are you carrying? You're not supposed to be carrying any burdens. None of them. You were not made to carry burdens. You were not. When Adam was tending the garden and God first turned the whole planet onto Adam, he wasn't carrying any burdens. He used his faith for everything. And that's how we're supposed to be. Cast your cares on him. Some of those little boxes may have our loved ones' names on it who are not walking with God, or something that might have gone wrong, or that neighbor that just is our enemy. Whatever it is, cast that burden. Get rid of the burden. Amen. Amen?
Amen?
You were not made to carry burdens. Yes.
What is his yoke?
He's our partner, Chris. He, the minute we got born again, it's in the old days. In fact, this donkey kind of has a yoke. In the old days, they would harness two oxen next to each other so that they could plow the field. And Jesus takes on part of that yoke, and it's easy. What the yoke that Jesus has is that of faith. Of faith. He's not laboring. We take on the yoke of faith and we walk through life in faith. Amen? But we got to be equally yoked to him. Glory to God. But that's what it is, Chris, is that we go into partnership with him and we start to really believe what he's telling us. And then the yoke gets light because he's not worried, people. He's not afraid. He's not in some corner crying and interceding panically. Panically? Who? Okay. Number three, you are strong, strongly confident. Now, this is the third one. The third one we didn't cover. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. Hebrews 10:35. Pastor and I, because we are built on the rock. I've shared my story with you guys about how we started the first 4 years. Nothing, we submerged ourselves in nothing but the word. We got rid of everything, television, music, partying, going to family stuff. We hardly ever did any of that. We went underground so we could learn about God. We both went to the university. We were both relatively intelligent. And we said, you know what? If we're going to start teaching people about God, then we better know what we're doing. We should not misrepresent God. So we did that. We're built on the rock. And I think sometimes people judge us because we are confident. We know what we know, what we know. It's not an arrogance. I can't heal a pimple on your face. I'm serious. I cannot do a thing for you myself, but I'm confident in the God that I serve. And I know this beautiful being, this creature, this entity, whatever you want to call him. I know who he is and I know what he will do. There's no question in my mind. When I go to God, I'm not thinking, Lord, I hope you can answer this one. And God, I hope you can handle this one. This one's a really hard one. No. I'm confident. We are confident. Through experience and commitment, we are confident. And don't misinterpret us, people. We're not arrogant about what we're doing. We are the most humble people before God you'll ever meet, to be honest with you. We've endured World War III's in our lives with from people. And we have survived only because we love God and we're built on the rock. Amen. But don't ever misinterpret our confidence and the way we speak as arrogance. It has nothing to do with us. We are nothing. We are but a little clay vessel. But the glory of God is everything. Amen. So confidence. And confidence means all outspokenness. That is frankness, bluntness, publicity, where you're able to speak openly. Let's say they find a little growth in your elbow, like I had one, and it went away, praise the Lord. But and maybe your parents ask you, how's that lump going? And you're like, in public, you're going to say, I am healed. It is gone in the name of Jesus, amen? And you start to speak like that when somebody asks you. You know, it ought to flow out of us very naturally, people. So publicity, and then by implication and assurance. When you're confident, you have an assurance in God. God's going to bring this to pass. I know my God. He has no limits in his power, no limits in his love. Nothing can separate me from him. And I know I got this in Jesus' name. It's an assurance. And then you get bold. Again, Pastor and I are bold. We know what we're doing. Amen. We know what we're doing, people. And then boldness of speech. Don't apologize. You know, well, you know, I got prayed for and, you know, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. No, I got prayed for. And that prayer is my legal contract before God. I have this. I'm not letting go of my prayer. Amen. Jenny, Mona's mom, Mona Gutierrez, she got cancer. They took her in and, you know, they explored her body and they found out, you know, that they were going to do just a little to see what was going on in her. And she had cancer throughout her body. And they said, you have like, what was it, 3 or 4 months, Bill? Very, very short time. You know, you get your stuff in order because there's nothing we can do. I mean, it's everywhere. And they brought her to pray for us to pray for her. And, you know, people were crying. People were very sad. People were very upset. And no, I would, too, if it was my mom. But Billy and I walked in there as agents of peace. You're going to come to us to pray for you. We're going to be an agent of peace in your life. Amen. And we walked in there and Pastor literally, they told us what was going on. And Pastor literally said, Jenny, what do you want? And she said, well, I want to live. I want to live. And by this time, she was 70. And Bill literally asked her, how much longer? And she said, I want to see my grandchild, which was Gabby at the time, grow up and become an adult. And Bill said, okay, we'll pray. We laid hands on her. We prayed. Not much changed immediately. She went back to the doctors. They were, you know, I think they ran one more test and they found it or it was there. And the doctor said, you know, Jenny, this doesn't look very good. And you know what she told her? Talk about confidence and boldness of speech. She looked at the doctor and she said, doctor, I'm not coming back to you. You make me feel bad. I got prayed for and I know I'm healed. And she walked out of that doctor's office. Guess what? She lived to be 85. And guess when she left? On Easter. She left on Easter morning. She went on her terms. My dad, he is a little, he's so cute. He left on Christmas Day. Yeah, these people are picking our holidays. Hey, those are high days up there. And then confidence. It's a firm belief in your own abilities. And by this, I mean that you have confidence. Listen, you've got to get to the place where you believe your own word. You've got to trust your own word. I'm going to get prayer. And when I get prayer, it's done. Or I'm going to go to God. And when I talk to God and release this, I have boldness and confidence in my ability to trust God completely. Amen. That's what I'm interpreting that as. And then full trust in others or plans, which are God's. Do we trust God? Amen. Do we trust his plan? What is his plan regarding our bodies? Healing. What is our plan? What is God's plans regarding our little bank accounts? Prosper, redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. He's got plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think of you. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God already made up his mind about you. Jesus, God already made up his mind about you. It's done. It's written. Amen. It's always going to be good, whatever God's plan is. And then a general freedom from doubt. Get rid of the doubt. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so good. Okay, so I was supposed to explain to you something. You can have doubt in your head and still have faith in your heart. And that faith in your heart will produce. A lot of people think, oh man, I still see that lump and, you know, I'm having a hard time, you know, because we're going by our senses, by what we're thinking. But if in your heart you know that you know, you already prayed and got, you're healed, you can write it out even if your mind's giving you problems. The way we get rid of the problems in our mind is we go and pray. We pray, especially in the Spirit. Yeah, of course, get in the Word. Amen. That's how you deal with this. But don't be moved if you have a little doubt. It's like, how is God going to do this? Is this really of God? Don't be moved. Count on your heart. Go into your heart and see the faith that's there. Amen. Because Pastor and I, half our ministry is that of pushing the logos down into your heart. Get that down there. I see you sometimes. You'll be sitting there and you'll go, wow, like, oh man, you connected the dots. Amen. And then it comes from the Latin word fidere, which means to trust. So when you have confidence, you know how to trust. Amen. Praise God. How were we when we were kids, people? Your mom, you know, she would say, honey, you need to take this vitamins. And you look at them, you go, no, I don't want to. But then you trusted her. So you went ahead and you yielded. Amen. Confidence, trust in others, having faith in the reliability or truth of another person, God, prayer warriors, and certainly your pastors. Amen. Can you put trust in another person, especially God? God would be first. And then certainty. This is confidence, people. I'm still describing confidence to you. Certainty, a strong sense of assurance that a fact or future event is true or will turn out well. Prophecy. Remember the prophecy that God gave us a few weeks ago. It changed my life forever. He literally said, I crush all uncertainty in your life. With me, there's no uncertainty. We should never question, is it really going to happen? No, God said it. It's done. Amen. Praise God, people. Psalms 119:166. I hope and wait with complete confidence for your salvation. You ought to write that scripture down. You ought to have it in your near your computer, everywhere you go, in the bathroom, wherever you go. I hope and wait for your salvation in complete confidence, Father. And then Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence, your trust and hope, firm and strong. For the Lord will be your confidence, your trust and hope. We, before we turned the church over to Bayless, we were meeting. It was a Wednesday night. We had a small storefront church at the time. And it was a Wednesday night. So we had like maybe 15 people there. And these people that we hadn't seen for a little bit came. You know, it was nice. There was about 10 of them, actually. It was like three sisters and then a couple of their kids and so on. And, you know, Pastor was teaching away and everything, and, you know, doing what he needed to do on Wednesday. And when we were done, Bill was about to close up and he looked at the young man. The young man was around 16. He was still in high school. And he looked at him and he goes, can I talk to you? And the guy's like, yeah. He hadn't been to our church, so he didn't know what we were like. And he said, yeah. And he goes, I need you to stand up. And the guy stood up. And then he goes, God wants me to tell you confidence, trust. God wants me to tell you to run from here. I think he was in the front row. He goes, from here to the door. And the kid turned pale and he goes, I can't. And he said, I didn't ask you if you could. God wants you to run from here to the door. And the kid was like, and then he looked at his mom and all the aunts, leave it to the tías, all the aunts said, you don't understand, he can't. And Bill said, I didn't ask you if he could. I'm telling you to do it. God was trying to do a miracle. The kid looked at Bill in bewilderment, decided to trust. He could have walked out and said, you guys are crazy. You're asking me to do something you don't even know. And he could have walked out really upset. The kid looked at Bill and he said, okay. And guys, he ran to the door. He took a first step and he was a little gingerly about it. And he ran to the door and everybody started, oh my God, oh my God. We had no idea what God was doing, but we trusted with confidence. The kid ran around. I think he ran around the little building that we had. But inside, he couldn't stop running. He was so excited. And what we found out was that this kid was brilliant in baseball. And during one of the games, he was sliding into a base, and he ended up destroying his leg, his foot. And he could not walk. I mean, he could walk, but he could never run again. And he had to stop his little career. He wanted to go pro, or as far as he could take it. And we found out that his foot had fused together. His foot was fused. And God released his foot and restored his life in that moment. Amen. That's what confidence and trust will do. Amen? Praise God, people. Job 11:16. For you would forget your trouble. You would remember it as waters that have passed by. That's God. You may be going through a trial right now, but if you trust him, it's going to pass like waters that keep going. It's going to go away from you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You would remember it as waters that have passed by, and your life would be brighter than the noonday. I fought for my life in 1983, and right at the end of that little trial, it was like maybe 3 months before all the symptoms went away, God started telling me, not only will you live, but you're going to give life. You're going to bring forth a son, and his name will be Brian, and he will bring much healing with him. And I'm like, how? How is that possibly going to happen? First of all, I almost died giving birth to Andy. The devil tried his best to destroy us before Andy even breathed outside of the womb. And so what he was telling me is, you may be in a little darkness still, but very soon you're going to be brighter than the noonday. And that day came. Amen. That day came. It was quiet. I'm sitting there having breakfast and banning with Andy on my lap. I'm having a little bit of cereal. It would take me a whole day, people, to eat half a bowl of cereal. Half a bowl. I could not get anything down. It was very hard. But you can't be moved by what you see. God is in the other realm working the whole time. And so all of a sudden, I feel this little gentle tap on my shoulder. And God had to ask me, Eva, where are the symptoms? And I'm like, oh my God, I haven't even been aware of my body in the last 2 months. I was healed. And I shone brightly. And he's our walking trophy. He's our walking trophy. Amen. Amen. Darkness then would be like the morning. It may be dark when you're going through it. Crying endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Then you would trust with confidence because there is hope. You would look around you and rest securely. Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my impenetrable shield. You lift up that standard and you say, God, you're my protector. It cannot be penetrated. What is the shield called?
Faith.
The shield of faith. You lift up your shield and you say, no evil weapon will prosper against me. And it's impenetrable. It stops the fiery darts from the wicked. So, with unwavering confidence in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I shall thank him and praise him. Amen. Praise God. People, our lives should be from victory to victory, amen, not from trial to trial.
Amen.
That's how we live as Christians. Oh my God, another thing's just happened. Oh my God. Okay, let's go through the trial and let's try to get the victory. No, we're supposed to be going, people, from victory to victory. Look at the victory, not the trial.
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. Psalms, I'm losing weight up here trying to get this to you. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts and puts his confidence in the Lord will be exalted and safe. You will be safe. You will be safe. Some of you need to lay your stake down that I will live a long life. Did you know that Satan can't take your life unless you give it to him? Did you know that once you make a decision, nothing can change that? Nothing, not even God. Is God able to stop you when you make a decision to do something bad? Is he able to stop you? You made up your mind. You're going to go do that. That's how powerful your choice is. Amen? Praise God. The wicked, oh, I love this so much. People talk about using your faith for when we leave this earth. You know, the sting of death has been removed for the believer.
Amen.
There's no torment in us. We've heard of people that lived very badly. Very, 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 very badly for very, very wicked people. And when they die, they get to see their little escort. It's not good. For the sake of our beautiful children, I won't go into details. But they can see what's waiting for them in the room. And they scream in horror. But for us, I'm believing God that either an angel or Jesus come and get me. That's my faith. Jesus is my friend. I love him. I serve him. And I am expecting God to, first of all, I'm not afraid of dying. Dude, did you know that dying is one of the easiest things you can ever do? You literally step out of your body. Now, how you get there is going to be up to you big time. Amen. Does this make any sense, people?
Yes.
Some of you, okay, this side is doing good. How about the wicked is overthrown through his wrongdoing, but the righteous has hope and confidence, trust, and a refuge with God, even in death. Even in death. We can trust God all the way till our last breath here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Micah 7:7, but as for me, I will look expectantly for the Lord, and with confidence in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with confident expectation for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Confidence. What was the first thing you want to look for? Not here, but peace. And number two? And?
Confidence.
These are things you want to look for. Amen. No, I'm confident. No, I've got this in Jesus' name. Verses, look at the opposite. Mark 4:40. Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Oh, I hope God, Jesus never has to ask you that, people. After all he's done, after the word that's been taught to you for decades, some of you decades, why are you afraid? When are you going to get it? Do you still have no faith and confidence in me? That's why he gets grieved when we have no faith, people, because it's showing you don't trust God and you don't have confidence in him. How is that good? And then Luke 8:25, and he said to them, where is your faith? Your confidence in me. Faith equals confidence in Christ, trusting Christ. They were afraid and astonished, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the sea, and they obey him? So where is your faith? Where is your confidence in him? Amen? Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, your trust and confidence in my power and my ability to heal, it will be done to you. It will be done to you. Your trust and your confidence in his power. Amen. Praise God. If I had a phone, I would be taking all these pictures, people. They're very comforting when you need them, when you need to be encouraged. Amen. Let's get active as a church again, people. There was a time when you would bring your notebooks and your Bibles faithfully, and you took notes feverishly. Let's get back to that. We're students of the word. Amen. Amen. Don't rely on what you hear. Sometimes I'll ask you questions of something I just taught like 5 minutes ago, and you don't even remember. It can be robbed from you. Amen. Praise God. The word, in one of the scriptures, Jesus says that the devil comes immediately to rob the word that was sown in their hearts. Amen. You got to start taking notes, people. I'm begging you. Number four, you are in joy. I love this one. Amen. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You're going to find out that everything God does is counterintuitive or the opposite of what we experience in this world. When we are going through a trial, joy is the last thing we have. We're grumpy, we're upset, we're frustrated, we're angry. Why me? Why did this happen to me? All of these things are normal reactions in the world. But God says, count it a joy. You're in a trial. And we're like, what? Oh my God, they're about to take my lumbago and you want me to be joyful? Yes. Yes. There's a reason. Joy is a powerful force, a spiritual powerful force. It's not when someone's sitting there in the hospital bed going, hallelujah, I'm in a trial. I don't know if I'm going to make it. This is wonderful. Hallelujah. Not that kind of joy. It's a quiet, awesome force that comes out of our being. So count it all joy. All joy. Say all joy.
All joy.
Not a little bit. Not 90%, I'm very upset and angry, and I'm hurting, and I'm in a lot of pain, and I'm very grumpy. And then I have a little joy. Yeah, maybe this will work. No, all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let joy carry you. Amen. Let joy carry you. And then joy means cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness, greatly, exceedingly joyful. You don't know this, but right now I am overcoming something very powerful. And I have joy because I'm preaching. I told myself this morning, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And I have joy because look at me. I'm doing it. I have the victory. I have the victory, people. Amen. Count it all joy. Amen. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When you are abounding in hope and you have joy and peace and you are believing, that's all activity with the Holy Spirit. But let all those rejoice, brighten up, cheer up, and be merry. When you're going through a trial, brighten up, Cheer up and be merry. Turn it around. Slap the devil in the face. And say, you know what? I'm not going to fall for your... Because what he does, people... Okay, let's say he attacks your body. Then the next thing is depression, fear, anxiety, insomnia. All of these things start hitting you. He doesn't just do one little thing. He tries to wipe you out. But if you say, no, I'm going into joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Glory to God. Amen. Who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. That means you cover over and protect. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. Be joyful in Christ. How many of you love the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. But let all who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy because you cover and shelter them. Let those who love your name be joyful and exult in you. This is from the Amplified. The top scripture is just the New King James Version. But we ought to rejoice, people. Once we pray, start rejoicing. I have this. And your mind may be going crazy. And you may not feel a thing about joy. But it comes. It comes. It will come. Amen?
Amen.
James 1:2, Amplified. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and complete, developed in your faith, lacking nothing. How many of you would like to lack nothing, nothing at all, where you are complete and full? Then start counting it all joy. Start going to God. Turn things over to God. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And what's the next one?
Joy.
Cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness, greatly, exceedingly joyful. Peaceful, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. If you're not experiencing joy, you are not walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, people, we will have all these wonderful things flowing in our being. Amen? My life of joy. I think this is the last one, actually. Oh, almost. My life of joy. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms.
Amen.
Instead of going into your room and crying or being afraid or losing it, go into your room and start bringing thanksgiving and psalms to him. Amen. And the joy of the Lord will take over. This is how we look spiritually sometimes. Forlorn, lost, weak, feeble, scared. And God sees that. We don't. You may walk in with the biggest, loudest, amen, praise the Lord, glory to God. And it's not what you are on the inside. A merry heart, which means glad and rejoicing, makes a cheerful countenance. It's going to show on the outside. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Some of you have a broken spirit. It's time to shake that loose. There's no need for that. Start getting a merry heart. Start looking at the blessings that you have. Start being grateful for what God is doing in your life.
Amen.
You can't go around with a half glass half empty if you're a believer. Start seeing the glass half full. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
And then a merry heart does good like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Yes, that's me tapping. But a broken spirit dries the bones. When we walk around with a broken spirit, your body is going to pay the price. These are not silly things that God put together. Oh, I want my people to smile because I'm in their lives. No. A merry heart does good like a medicine. School yourself into being merry about your life. Be happy, people. Amen?
Amen.
And then a broken spirit dries the bones. Any person that has a broken spirit is suffering in their bodies. Nehemiah 8:10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Ooh, that sounds good for lunch, Pastor. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy, rejoicing, and gladness of the Lord is your strength. A fortified place, the strength is a fortified place, my defense, a force, fortress, rock, strength, and stronghold. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Go into joy and you will be fortified. You will be strengthened. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Psalms 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is going to show you the path of life. And in his presence is fullness of joy. So if a person has a broken spirit all the time and they're always sad and they're always like, oh my God, life is hard. Are they spending time in the presence of the Lord? Huh?
No.
No. Let's put it together. Psalms 105:43. He brought out his people with joy. His chosen ones with gladness. Are you his chosen ones? Say it like you mean it.
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
Yes, you are the chosen. And he's bringing you out with gladness, with joy. We're supposed to meet him for the rapture. Are you going to be upset, angry, or are you going to be full of joy and rejoicing? He's here. The bridegroom is here. And then Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. And a word spoken in due season, how good it is. This is really powerful, people. A man has joy by the power of his mouth. What are you saying? I hate my job. I hate my neighbor. I hate my body. It's always breaking down. What are you saying? Or are you... A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Are you saying, I am healed in the name of Jesus? I have favor with my neighbor in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for the job that you gave me, Father. I'd like to change if possible, but I love my job. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're almost two more. Covenant of peace, Ezekiel 37:26. That was my angel. Ezekiel 37:26. God promises you a peace that never ends. Go and look up that scripture. God promises you a peace that never ends. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. See, God knows what his word can do for you. And it's nothing but joy. All creation's going to join him in the joy that the word will come to pass for you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Are you asking? Or are you tolerating life as you live it? Are you asking? Father, I want to be smarter. Father, I want to pass every class, if you're going to school. Father, I want my family to love me. What is it that you're asking? If we have the faith to ask, we will receive. So our faith in asking will bring us to a place where our joy will be full. Ask and your joy will be full. And that's it. Well, praise God. Thank you so much.